you can testify to that, can't you? And, you know, a lot of times they get on to me for talking too much, but there's a fellow that just got saved a couple months ago, and I see the same in his life as I am. He just got saved, and, man, he can't quit talking. And that's what I want, that to stay with me for the rest of my life. I don't want to be able to shut up. So if I get on your nerves for talking too much, deal with it. But if y'all come to hear me talk this morning, this is what the Lord laid on my heart, so hope y'all ain't disappointed. Are y'all wanting God to do something great in your life? Are you? Yes? Or no? I mean, if you don't, then that's fine. I mean, it ain't fine, but that's where you're at, and that's okay. But if you want God to do something in your life, raise your hand. Well, that's pretty good. No. Even if it makes you uncomfortable? Huh? Even if it makes you uncomfortable, are you still willing to raise your hand? There's a few. There ain't quite as many. All right. Y'all stand up one time. Grab your stuff. Everybody on this side switch to this side. And that side, this side. I know that's going to be... Some people might need to help the older ladies. This already looks better. As y'all are getting seated and situated, this already looks different from up here. And I think God's already going to do something great. Because the reason I did this is the story of Samson. Y'all, and I told the Sunday school class today, there's not many Bible verses or stuff that I could come up with that you ain't already heard and that you don't know. Probably better than me. But Samson in the Bible, y'all know the story where Delilah kept coming after him over and over and over, trying to find out his secret, right? And it says, Samson fell asleep. Y'all know the story? He got comfortable. He fell asleep. Eldon, he asked me just now, why I gotta do this? It's okay. Sometimes when we get comfortable, we fall asleep. And it said that Samson didn't even know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed him. Y'all know that story? A lot of times we come to church and we sit here. I sit in about the same spot myself. And Stick and Benita. You know, we can name who sits in the same spots pretty much because we see it. And we grow comfortable. We fall asleep and we don't even know that the Lord has departed. Right? I'm just as guilty, y'all. And that's my story. Is Mikey, if you hear the same stuff over and over, it's okay. Just bear with me, okay? Mikey gets to hear me talk all the time, and I just tell him a lot of times God wants to do something great in his life. God wants to do something great in my life. God wants to do something great in your life. But we come and do the same things expecting something different, right? I do. But I get the same results. There's things that God, you know, that I put in my life that I love, and I think hunting is one of them. There's not one thing that I can find in the Bible that says hunting is wrong. But when I start putting my focus, that's all I think about, y'all, sometimes. My wife can say yes, you know. And y'all can probably tell more than I can when I get my focus off God, right? Can't y'all see it in my life? And that's one thing that I struggle with. And, man, I said, God, thank the Lord, hunting season is over. Much as I love it, once I lay that down and put it down and start focusing on God, man, he starts doing great things again. Whose fault is it? Huh? Yeah. Now, There's a lot of people here today, right, that feels powerless, right? In your Christian faith, in your walk, you say, man, why come I can't do this? Or why can't I do this? Why can't I see God move? Or when I pray, why can't somebody be healed? Man, I appreciate you sharing that this morning because that renews my faith. Wow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Are you powerless? Do you feel powerless sometimes? Whose fault is it? Alta's the only one that knows whose fault it is. She said it's hers. A lot of times I want to know what God's will is for my life. And I ask him. And I talked about the Sunday school a little bit today. You know, I put this sign up here. Do y'all know what that means? Some people do because I told them what I was going to talk about. Greater than or less than. You know, the other one is turned around. And I don't even know which one's which, to be honest with you. The big side means greater, right? Goes down to less than. When we see things, a lot of times we see things as less than or greater than. When you see the number 5, what do you think of? Is it greater or less than 500? Is it greater than or less than 5,000? Less than. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000. So, is it still greater than or less than? Hello? Greater? Things ain't always how they appear. I thought of several other illustrations. I was going to get Jerry or Elvin and Dwayne. I was looking at Jerry. Sorry. To get one of them up here and give you is Dwayne greater than Megan? Huh? It don't appear that way, but it might be. Megan can accomplish far greater, more things in her life now than Dwayne can, because she's got many more years to go. You know what I mean? Sometimes it seems like the little children might not be quite as valuable. But if we teach them and train them, they can do even greater works than what we've even done. Me and my wife watched a movie this week. Ruth gave it to us about William Carey. And they had no electricity, no planes, no motorized, nothing. It's what, 18? Oh, shoot. I forget what year it is. Long time ago. But the things they accomplished back then when they had nothing is almost greater than what we are accomplishing now. And we got every tool we can think of. Airplanes, fast transportation. So what's greater, them or us? We got greater technology, but probably less motivation or something. The other week, I think it was Sunday night, a week or two ago, I just asked the Lord, you know, what the Lord's been doing in your life. I hate to pick on Mary. Is she even here? I don't see her. Mary Gingrich just shared. I was going to get her to share again, but she just said she had a vision where she took something and laid it down before the Lord. And I believe once she did that, God started doing something miraculous in her life. I don't have a whole lot of verses. Sorry, y'all. But I do have a few. And when we become powerless, Alta said it's our fault. And I believe it's our fault. What should you do out there? That's a beginning. Jesus set us an example. He said, you know, and it's in a couple different places, but Matthew 20, I think it's 25, right in there, 28 actually. He says, he didn't come into the world to be served, but to be a servant. We talked about this morning, what was it like to be a servant? What, or a slave, you know, what's the difference between a servant and a slave? And a servant is somebody who chooses to do what the master tells them. Oh, and a slave does what the master tells him, because that's what it's expected. You know, it's like, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this, or I'm going to treat you like this. I feel like I spent most of my life as a slave looking at God as, man, I got to do this so God loves me. I got to do this so that God will bless me. Y'all ever done that? And it was just about a month ago. I think y'all remember when I said, God, I want you to be Lord of my life. I shared a testimony about my work and stuff. And I said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And there's things opened up. There's things that shut the door. It felt like in my face. And I was like, well, I asked you to be Lord. You direct my path. And I've seen God work in my life in a way that I didn't really expect. I was kind of used to the humdrum, everyday thing going on about my business, getting the same results. You know what I'm talking about? But just as I allowed God to be Lord of my life, I think he honored that request. If we read, I told somebody in class today, I said, just read the red letters, what Jesus spoke as he came to serve and not be served. A lot of times, I'm just going to be honest here. I had a dream the other night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and it felt like the Lord said, this is what I want you to talk about. That's not comfortable for me to say that, okay? Just like it wasn't comfortable for some of y'all to get up and move over there. I wore this shirt because it's uncomfortable. I can't stretch my arms out. It feels uncomfortable. And I was like, well, if I make them uncomfortable, I won't be uncomfortable too. But I felt like the Lord laid on my heart a little bit about what he wanted me to say. He said, get up and go write this down. And I said, no. This is right after I said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And I said, no, I'll do it in a couple hours when I get up. And it's like almost, he said, see, you don't really want me to be Lord of your life. You want to be my servant. You want to be greater than me. You know, I want to put myself over here greater than the Lord. I want you to serve me, Lord. Have y'all? You know what I'm talking about. And he said, see, I was just giving you a little test to see if you're going to do what I told you to do. I said, okay, God. I got up and went and wrote down what he wanted me to write. It wasn't a whole lot, but I think it was just a point of, are you going to do what you want, you asked me to do? So, that's what it said. Are you greater than me? Are you less than me? The Bible says over several times, like, you must become like the little children. That's why I asked is Megan, she's not little anymore. Greater than Dwayne. Something about these children, they have a way of getting to God's heart, and they can forgive, they can forget, they can get over their little shortcomings a lot quicker than us grown-ups can. I asked again, Alta, what do we do when we have these shortcomings in our life? They sap us of our power, don't they? They take away our strength. I say, can I pray for Trent? And nothing happens. because of those shortcomings. And everybody's got their own thing. Whew. I do. And I'm scared to get up here and talk because I don't want you to know my shortcomings. I'm scared to go to Ingles and testify because somebody might see my shortcomings. Right? The more I talk about my shortcomings, the less I'm worried about somebody finding out about them. And the more power I receive, it feels like. There was a time in my life, I would not tell you that hunting is a struggle in my life. I'm okay. Ain't nothing wrong with hunting. And I would probably fight you over it. What in the hell? But it's just the more God prepares my heart and says, man, you know, there is things in your life. And, you know, I say, well, it ain't nothing wrong with it. That power just stays back. When I say, God, yeah, there is something wrong with it. And I want to, you know, it might not be nothing wrong with hunting, but the way I put it before everything else, it becomes a problem. And that's called, some of y'all, you might need an interpreter. Y'all from up north, ain't you? Can y'all understand me okay? Somebody interpret for them, please. But when we get this stuff in our life, it's so easy to go and say, God, forgive me for adultery. When I say idolatry, that's what I, you know, that's making God in my image or making an image of God for myself to suit me. And that's sin. And that separates me from God. And that saps my power. You understand, Amos? More and more I hear people saying, man, you know, it's okay. You know, I have to read the Bible and interpret it the way I want to interpret it. That's true to some extent, but when it says something is sin and we continue to live in sin, you can't have the power. You can't. God, we talked about this in Sunday school the other week. Somebody said, well, how do you know what's what? And I said, well, some people don't even know what team they're on anymore because they read the Bible and they say, well, this is what it means to me, but it means something different to you. Well, if that's the case, I don't even know what team I'm on, really. Y'all understand what I'm saying? How we can take a verse and say, well, it means this to me, and it means this to me. Well, is that true? I don't know what team I'm on if I do that. I want to see God. I prayed. I said, God, would you help me not to be condemning? And if I come across condemning, y'all just have to forgive me, and I don't want to do that at all. We went to a thing last night, and the guy, one of them, I forget the name of the Iron Man. Iron Man was the name of the program or the group that was there. And they said their main goal is like iron sharpens iron. And that's what I want to do this morning is encourage you to, if you see something in your life that's hindering you, are you tired of the way things are? Are you? John? You want to see God do something miraculous in your life? There's things in our lives that, and it's so little, that God says, well, I can't, you're not on my team. You might be saved, you might be a Christian, but the power has gone. I read in a book, it says there's nothing greater of a tragedy than when God takes a man and uses him and does mighty works in his life and then takes the man over here and puts him down because there's something in his life that's hindering that power to keep flowing through him. He said it's about rather to be dead than do that. He said, it would be better for that man to die than to have that presence of the God upon his life at one time, using him, empowering him, and strengthening him, and then all of a sudden, he can't be used anymore because there's just, and he said pride is one of the biggest things. And I was like, oh. Is this foreign to any of y'all? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay. We over and over, it says, I just wrote this down, y'all. I'm not a studier. I mean, I love to study, but when it comes to writing stuff down, it felt like I get a writer's block. And God said, no, I'll give you what to say. I'm like, oh, that's hard for me to do that. But it says, if God calls us to do something and we don't do it, what is that? Sin. And we ask God to bless us. And I use this illustration in Sunday school, and I was like, man, I hope y'all don't get tired of hearing this. But we ask God, we go to Greenwood, we go to Ohio, we go to Africa, wherever we want to go. And we're like, God, would you bless this? Will you bless my plans? Will you bless what I'm doing? Will you bless this? And yeah, God wants to hear our cries. But to me, it's like the Lord been telling me. He said, ask me what I want you to do today. He said, if you ask me what I want you to do, it's already blessed. It ain't going to be no, you have to beg for a blessing. You have to beg. You don't have to do that. And that's hard for me to wake up in the morning and say, God, you're going to be Lord of my life today. If you lead anybody into my path, I'm going to tell them about you. That's hard. But boy, it's rewarding. It's rewarding. Where it's this one book I've been reading, and it talks about when we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there's two things we're going to do. Can y'all guess what they are? Anybody? There's two things that's going to happen. Testify. That's one. What's the other one? Y'all got that one pretty good, I think. The Mennonites had this one pretty good. It's service. He said, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit and not tell somebody about it and not do something with it. He said, it's impossible. So, if I receive the Spirit today, what's going to happen in my life? I'm going to tell somebody, right? When I go to Ingles, what's going to happen? Mikey, what happens at work when we see somebody? I can't help but tell somebody. You say, well, I'm just shy. Oh. What if all the 12 disciples were, I'm just shy. I ain't going to go tell nobody. Better that, Mary, when Jesus arose from the temple, he said, go and tell the disciples. You remember that story? If not, go read it. He says, don't touch me, but go back to the disciples and tell them what's going on, what you've seen. I'm risen. He said, tell them. She don't have to go and like, should I tell somebody or not? She don't have to debate or say I'm shy, or she don't worry about it. She runs back and tells them. Well, then what happens then? They go running back the other way. Make sure it's true. Man, that's exciting to me, ain't it? Tomorrow, do you want to be able to run to the grocery store and tell somebody about Jesus? Or run to wherever God's calling you to go tomorrow, to work? That's the best place. Elvin had to get on to me about that. I was like, God, I'm looking for God to do something great in my life. He said, well, as you were going, make disciples. And I was like, I don't have a whole lot of scripture, y'all, but that's that's about as close. You know what else? Y'all know the scripture, don't you? I told Sunday school today. I said, "Man, I struggle with getting up here and telling or sharing with church people because you've been in church. Well, my kids since day one, and I'm proud of that. I'm glad they have been." But y'all got all that teaching, all that knowledge. And I get intimidated by it. What does God want me to share with you? I wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. You know the verses better than me. Mark's grinning. He's probably like, you don't believe that, Mark? Not like I'd like to. Jesus says, you will be my disciples, and you will go into all the earth making disciples of men. Have we been doing that? John, you want to get up here and preach? John is... I think tasted, y'all know it says taste and see that God is good. I think he's tasted a little bit of God, and he wants more, don't you, John?
Yeah, it does. You know, I figured, you know, like when we went up to Monday and done that, you know, I feel like I'm going to call me to do that, and then this is what I get for it. I got it. I'm glad there a little bit, you know. It does kind of bother me.
Y'all said earlier when I asked you, did you want to see God move in your life? And y'all said yes. And most of you, I think everybody got up and switched sides. That made you uncomfortable, right? Yes. That's why I was like, when we ask God to do something great in our life, to start moving in our life, do you think it's going to be comfortable? I don't think so. It's going to take you out that easy chair. When God calls us to do something, I'm getting back to what I was saying a while ago. When God calls us to do something and we don't do it, somebody said it's sin. I think that's one of the biggest hindrances of our Christian walk and our power that we're supposed to have as we walk from day to day, healing people, casting out demons. It's because God tells us to do it and we say, oh no, God, that's uncomfortable. So he said, okay, I'll have that power back. Woe to you. Woe to me. How many people want to have that power? One, two,
three,
four, five, couple, four more. Y'all want to pray? There's a lot of things we can pray to forgive us. Unforgiveness, adultery, lust. I mean, these little things that we think we can cover up. People say, why do come the Christians today don't have the power? You ever heard that? I can tell you why. Well, the Bible can tell you too if you read it. The power. Jesus says, are y'all willing to stay at about 3 o'clock? Huh? Anybody got any objections to that? The reason I ask is because I struggle with that myself. Jesus, as he was ascending into heaven, he said, told the disciples, he said, go back to Jerusalem and tarry. Y'all know what tarry means? Anybody? Wait. For 10 days, they waited. And then you know what happened? Book of Acts, chapter 2. It says, the Holy Spirit come upon them. And they began to teach and talked different languages. People thought they were drunk. And Peter stood up and addressed the crowd and said, "Nah, these people ain't drunk. They have the power of the Holy Spirit." I hadn't been told I've been drunk lately. I haven't been told that. And I want that power. It's the same. I believe Jesus' Spirit is the same back then as it is today. And I believe every bit of my heart it is. But there's something in my life keeping me from that power. Who wants to go to the store tomorrow? Or work store? I keep saying the grocery store because I think that's a wonderful... I don't go shopping much, but I think it would be a good spot for the women. Men at work. Who wants to go to work tomorrow and tell people about Jesus? You more. Harold, you got a wonderful opportunity. I don't know what you do there. I don't know who you talk to. I don't know, but you got a wonderful opportunity. You get people coming to you left and right. Do you want to receive that power?
I share when I can. I'm sure I can share more.
Do you want more power? I think you do. I hope you do. I'm not trying to have no invitation, no altar call. But if you want to receive the power, and if it goes to 3 o'clock, that's fine with me. Or 5 o'clock, I'm okay with that. I'll go sit down, and I want to give it time for you to say, this is what's been hindering my life and my power, and I want my power back. Okay? Anybody want to, I told you where my power, I feel like my power gets zapped is hunting. And there's other things. Selfishness, I think that's probably the main sin where I'm like, I put myself before the Lord. I'm like, Lord, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it, and then you ain't going to stop me. I'm going to do this. He said, okay, that's fine. You can go sit over there. He said, I can't empower something like that. And my power's gone. Does anyone want to share what's going on in your life? And he had like 12 baskets left over. You know, I hope that you can leave here encouraged and say, man, you know, I do want to receive this power that the Lord's talking about. Or, you know, in Acts, you didn't have to tell those people. You didn't have to tell them. The Spirit come upon them, and they was sharing. They was doing something. There wasn't no question. Anyone else want to share? I put that sign up there. It's, you know, we ask Jesus to come into life and save us, and I think he does. I think he hears us and he saves us. But it's almost like instantly we expect him to start serving us. God, I need this. I need my marriage fixed. I need my motorcycle fixed. You know what I'm talking about. I need more money in my checkbook. He becomes our servant. instead of us becoming his servant. We become greater than him. And I think that would be considered idolatry when we put ourselves above God. Obedience is a thing where God, when he tells us to do something, we'd say, well, we'll do it later, or we'll do it tomorrow, or we just won't do it. That's disobedience. And to me, I'm trying to teach my children with all my heart to be obedient. And I think the Father, my Father, wants us to be obedient. And when he prompts us to do something, it might be calling somebody. It might be getting up here sharing. I don't know. Man, this is uncomfortable. But whatever it is, Lord laid on your heart, and he asks you to do something, and you don't do it, it's disobedient. If you do it, you know the rewards. I don't have to go into deep detail with that. Anyone, I'm just laying it open for you to, I want you to get your power back, fellas, ladies. I want tomorrow when you go into your grocery store, your community, that they can say, man, these people, they got something. They got the power. Are you scared of the power? You think, oh, if I get this power he's talking about, he's going to make me do things that's uncomfortable, right? You know that, don't you? Don't you? It's going to be uncomfortable. Thank the Lord. Thank you already have. That's great. That's awesome. You say you need to let it go? Thank you. You want to let it go? You want to pray for her? You want to pray for your wife? I just got this picture in my head, and this happened to me, and there's no, I want you to understand, I didn't take it as offense, but it seems like a lot of times I get up and share a testimony or a struggle I have, well then people come around me and pray, and I think that's wonderful, but the devil come to me and say, oh, they think you weak, you know. Here, you got all these people praying for you. They think you weak. That's what I struggle with. You know, it's like if I say, well, man, I'm going to share what I'm dealing with. Well, people think you weak. I hope you don't feel that way. And I don't want nobody. I want us to walk out these doors today and be like, wow. I want to do next Sunday. I was like, last week, Elvin preached. And when Monday morning came, we was going to work, and we went to a work project. And this one guy, he couldn't stop talking. He was telling what Elvin talked about the whole way up there. Wasn't you, John? He said, if you see a brother in need and don't know nothing about it, you don't love God. And he was telling this to other people. I was like, I can't believe it. But anyway, the week before that, Dwayne preached. Do y'all remember him preaching a couple weeks ago? What did he preach about? Wow. You remember he said lay up the stones, no cracks in between the stones. You know, I don't know how many people remember that, but when we walk out of here with God's power, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember to pray for Ruth this week because her struggle. I think you will remember that. I will. I got a verse. It's on my text. If I text you a verse, it's Ecclesiastes 4:10. I'm going to read it right quick because I'm not good at paraphrasing like Elvin does. I don't know why it just popped in my head, but Ecclesiastes 4:10, Ruth says, "If one fall down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up." Wow. You know, there's a lot of people just stumbling and falling, and it just seemed like nobody there to come. And when I read that verse, I spent my whole life, I feel like being the man, I'm like, oh, ain't nobody coming to help me out. I'm doing, you know, I got to be a man, just do it on my own. I read that verse about 2 weeks ago, I guess, a week ago, I don't know. And I said, wow, I've been spending my whole life wondering why people don't come help me, don't encourage me, don't lift me up. And then it's like Jesus said, well, now it's time for you to be the one to come and lift up your friends. And I was like, wow. It just changed and I think that's what you are. You're the person who comes and picks people up. You are. You're the one. Sometimes it seems like you're alone. Wow. I'm glad you shared. How can we be the ones to pick people up? If we had the power, we can do it, don't we? Verse 11, it says, "Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone?" And I was like, wow. "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Dwayne gave that illustration with the sticks being tied together. One at a time can be broken, but you get two or three people with the Holy Spirit flowing through them, there ain't much that can stop that. And if it's just one or two here today that walks out these doors with the Spirit, I'm excited about seeing what God can do. Sorry, y'all didn't get a bunch of verses hammered down on you, but that's just what the Lord has been doing in my life. And hope y'all pray. Go ahead. Couldn't have said it no better, Wesley. You want to come finish up today? That's awesome, though. I'm glad you listened to the Lord give you that verse, right? Great. That's obedience. Y'all can debate what I say all day. You can't debate the Word of God, right? And you can't debate what the Lord's doing in somebody else's life. I mean, that's just the way it is. We can debate and argue and a lot of things, but can't debate what Jesus has done for somebody. It's 12 o'clock, and I'm sorry, but if there's anyone else want to share, please. Can we stand? Everybody wants the power, right? A lot of y'all raised y'all's hands a while ago, and you want to see God do something miraculous in your life this week, next week, the weeks to come. Don't be scared to lay down whatever, unforgiveness, money, greed. It's going to make you uncomfortable, but the reward is great. Father, we just come today, and feel excited about the people who want to see you move, see your power revealed, Lord. That gets me excited. It gives me courage to face tomorrow, to go into the world and try to make disciples. God, I thank you for each one here and just their willingness to move out of their comfort zone this morning to move their seats, God. That's just one step. It's just a small step of how we get comfortable. And we don't even realize when you depart from us. But God, help us to know right now if there is power removed. Help us to know. Don't let us be like Samson, laying there sleep, comfortable and sleeping, and you've removed yourself from us. But help us to have our eyes on you, that when there is a sin in our life, we can recognize it and repent of it and reclaim the power. Jesus says on the cross that it is finished. The victory, the battle is over. The victory is won. We claim that this morning. And I pray that as we leave, we can walk in victory. We can walk knowing that the battle has been won. But a lot of times, the battles keep going because we choose them. We want to hold on to the unforgiveness. We want to hold on to the lust. We want to hold on to the envy and jealousy. Help us to recognize it, God, that we can walk with your power. That when someone recognizes there's something different in our lives, that we can reflect back and say, this is what God's done. Give you the glory for what's happening in our lives, Lord. We thank you. Praise you for what's going on in our church, how you've been moving, how you've been giving us opportunities to minister and to witness for you. And I just pray that you'll continue to open doors for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.